A 75-year-old cyclist left with life-altering facial injuries after being hit by a drunk driver has received one of the UK's first 3D-printed prosthetics. Grandfather of four, Dave Richards, has told the UK-based SWNS Media Group that he was lucky to be alive after the devastating crash.
Sadly, I remember most of it. There's three of us out for a bike ride, as we often did. And mid-morning, basically, we were hit from behind by a drunk driver who realised he couldn't swerve to miss us without hitting oncoming cars. So basically, he hit my two friends and knocked them out of the way, hit me, and unfortunately, I got trapped underneath the vehicle and sustained severe burning down one side and crush injuries all down the other. Just after I had my accident, I was approached by members of the prosthetic team to say that I could go down the route of looking at getting a prosthetic. And at that stage, I was in too much of a mess to contemplate. But as time went on, then I thought it might be something I could do. So it's a bit of an emotional roller coaster because it's now been 4 years since the accident. And in that time, I've had to get used to having this visual change. And so to an extent, I got used to it. So I think wearing the prosthetic, I will then have to get used to how I look with that. But I'm quite hopeful that it'll enhance my life and make me feel more self-confident.
That's a Dave Richards there, who was the survivor of a horrific accident when he was out cycling. Well, the North Bristol 3D Medical Centre, the first of its kind in the UK, has built a silicone prosthesis for Mr. Richards' face, even fitting him with a false eye. Misha Newnham is one of the reconstructive scientists at the 3D Medical Centre and joins me now. Tell me about the material that this is made from. What does it look like and feel like?
So it's a silicone, so it starts out as a clear kind of semi-liquid rubber, really, and we colour match it to match the skin of each individual patient that we make a facial prosthesis for. And then what we do is we look and see what we're trying to replicate. For example, with David, we were trying to replicate around his cheek and some of his nose, and we were thinking, right, how soft does that need to be? The cheek tissue is quite soft. It needs to be able to flex as he speaks. So we wanted to change the hardness of the material, and then around the nose and around the eye area where there isn't that much movement, especially as David had a flap to help close up the wound after he was in his burn injury, we kind of made that a little bit more rigid so that it would stay kind of in that static movement and not lift when the rest of his face moved.
And how do you get the shape right? Is it based on the other side of the face or from photographs or a bit of trial and error?
So, well, that's where our 3D kind of services come in. What we have now available to us is we can take a 3D image or a 3D surface scan of what David currently has and then flip over, so mirror one side to the other. What that allows us to do is print some 3D models, which allows us to get the fit surface and the shape and kind of the angulation of where everything needs to be. And going on from there, we then can use that to start manufacturing the prosthesis, which always starts out of wax. So we carve and we shape the wax with David to make sure that he's happy with how, you know, projected his cheek is, if he wants to have kind of the character lines or wrinkles, that kind of thing. And that's how we get those main characteristics in place.
And how do you adhere this prosthetic to the face?
So with this one for David, we used a medical adhesive or a medical glue, but with majority of prostheses, there are lots of different ways to retain them. So it could be with a medical glue, for example, or an implant like you have with dental implants, or sometimes the anatomy of the face has an undercut, for example, that we can use to retain the prosthesis itself.
What were some of the key challenges that the team has been faced with?
So the main difficulty that we had was that we can't replicate depth. So whenever you have a prosthesis, it's obviously sitting on top of the skin. Now with David, he had quite a bulky ALT flap, from his thigh that was placed onto his face over the area of burn after they had to remove the tissue. So what we really needed was the depth within the socket area so that the eye itself wasn't projected. What we then did was with our 3D software kind kind of looking at the areas of depth that we needed, we could see, would we be able to do a prosthesis for him? Now, initially, that wasn't something that we could do because there wasn't that depth there. However, after a number of years with David and other treatments that he had, we regained that depth, which allowed us the space to make a prosthesis for him that sat aesthetically into kind of the curve that he had on his face now, so that his eyes were at the same level.
Misha, just finally, I imagine it must be really rewarding for the members of the team to be involved in this work. Medically, someone like David could continue on his life without a prosthetic, but the face matters in our society, whether we like it or not. What's it like when you kind of get it as right as you can and it can make a difference for someone?
Absolutely. It's really rewarding. That's what we all love as a reconstructive scientist and maxillofacial prosthetist in our job, is that variety. And by helping someone get back to doing things that they want to do, you know, it can be really isolating when things happen to your face, and actually it changes how you view yourself and obviously how others view you. So it's really rewarding, the variety, looking at how we can help each individual person. Obviously David still cycles, which is brilliant. So we needed to make something for him that would stay in place and he felt comfortable. It wasn't going to kind of slip off his face, for example. And yeah, just that rewarding nature of creating something to help someone kind of feel as they did before. Obviously we're not giving them exactly what they had before and it's not part of them, but we try and make a prosthesis feel as much as of them it could be. My colleague Claire Crooks, who was the main person who was doing the manufacture of this prosthesis, who was shaping it and did all of the aesthetics for it, worked meticulously to try and get as many characteristics in that prosthesis to make it as similar to David as could be. And that's what we aim to do for all of our patients.